attention. But we've got something a lot more exciting right now. We've got Rose Lovelock, who's the director of the Aboriginal, the Armidale Cultural Centre in Keeping Place. And with her, we're very, very honoured this morning to have Adam Spencer, who's the creative arts producer. Adam's an artist himself and very prolific, but the work that he's doing down there at the Keeping Place with all the different cultural projects under Rose's eagle eye, I might say, is wonderful. Welcome so much to the show, Adam and Rose.
Thank you.
Now, I'm going to get you to lean into the microphone and because we're sharing one microphone. So look, I popped down last night and I just couldn't believe, well, yesterday afternoon to the Keeping Place, I could not believe all the changes that have there and the improvements. It's just extraordinary what you are achieving down there, Rose and Adam. And do you want to give us a little bit of a rundown of what's been happening? I know you've had some portaloos in the front yard for a while.
For a while, yes, while the renovations were going on inside. We secured some funding from Create New South Wales,
right,
to actually refurbish and redesign our entire older part of the building, the entrance area.
Because you have got that fabulous new gallery for the, and we're going to talk about what's in that exhibition space, because that's I think so moving. But before we do that, the older part of the original part was just getting a little bit, I mean, I didn't think it was needy at all, but a little bit tired, and you've got, everything's been sort of refurbed, and I've taken some photographs and they should be up on our community radio website, or page, whatever, Facebook page soon. But in the meantime, let's go to those portaloos. They're not there anymore.
They're not there anymore. We've had our toilets, our kitchen, our conference centre, all the offices, and a special room built at the other end as a collaboration we had with Ignite Program, which is a program from Sydney, and Adam took time off and went over there to just develop some artists' entrepreneurship, getting their businesses up and recognised.
All right, so they're our local entrepreneurs?
Regional. Yeah, but we do focus a lot on our local and our immediate surrounding areas, because we need to be representing all the time.
Well, one of the things that I was really excited about, it sounds silly, but look down and there's these beautiful carpets that are Aboriginal designs, and they've been, so in your meeting rooms and things, the carpets are Aboriginal, absolutely,
yes,
gorgeous.
Yes, actually, the artist is a guy called
Brenton Lugnut.
Yep. And he's in what's that town?
He's from
Bellingen.
Right.
Urunga area. That's his area.
Yep.
And he's a major, big artist. He does murals. Mm. So, but carpet was one of the areas that he did get onto manufacturing with.
Yeah.
And we thought, no, that would look lovely in our centre. So all the floors are covered with Aboriginal design.
And look, it's a corporate but a very exciting look as well. Adam, would you like to tell us a little bit about that program that Rose mentioned about developing Aboriginal arts entrepreneurship?
Ignite program?
Yes.
I worked with Ignite for almost 2 years, I think.
Right.
I started off as a client.
Mm-hmm. Because you're a prolific artist yourself, of course. when you've got time, I imagine.
Basically, I wanted to start my own business a long time ago.
Yeah.
And the help from Ignite basically started that dream again.
Oh, fabulous.
And they helped me go through all of that.
Yep.
I actually went out to Moree to try and gather some artists for the exhibitions at the Culture Centre.
Mm-hmm.
And I took one of the Ignite facilitators out there.
Yep.
And they just seen how I work with community.
Yeah.
We got about 20 artists at a drop of a hat, just because of people I know.
Yeah. That's the way it works.
And
they really were
very happy about seeing that happen.
Yeah.
So they basically offered me a job. Yeah, so I was the first Aboriginal facilitator for Ignite.
Right.
Ignite had a couple of different programs to start with. Mm-hmm. So it was for refugee entrepreneurs.
Right.
So when refugees come to Australia, they were helping them start their own business, so the skills that they bring to Australia.
Yep.
And then there was a call out for people with disabilities. So they had Igniteability, and they were helping people with disabilities start their own business.
Right.
And then they seen like the great need for Indigenous people.
Yep.
So they started the Ignite First, so for First Nations people.
Oh, right.
I actually had to go to Sydney and get in front of all the big wigs at SSI and...
Good on you.
and be welcomed into the crew. And yeah,
fabulous.
We actually had, I think there was like six locally and like 20 all up.
Terrific.
So 20 startups, yeah.
Yeah, and yeah. I guess you're, and so you're sort of nurturing them as at the moment?
Yeah, it was sort of like I took it as a mentoring role, basically. So, like Ignite had their ways of doing things, it just didn't fit into the Aboriginal way of things. So I had to, I sort of chucked the mentoring in, you know, it's like client facilitated relationship, but because I knew a lot of these people personally, it was just a more smooth way of doing it. It just made more sense to do it the way I'd done it.
Well, it's got to be culturally appropriate, and
exactly, and
I mean, you know, when you say those fancy words like cultural safety or cultural appropriate, what you mean is making it work and making it work for First Nations people.
Yeah,
yeah, on
there,
their
there was
terms
a thing called
well.
The Yellow Brick Road that we had to follow.
Oh. And Dorothy. Wizard of Oz.
And I actually said, well, there'll be a lot of dirt roads going off this. But we always come back to that yellow brick road to make sure that compliance and everything is all up to standard.
Oh, I see. Well, that's a lovely way of just adapting it a bit, isn't it?
Yeah, fantastic.
So, well, I can tell you, I haven't been down to the Keeping Place for a little while, and I could just feel the vibe is really there's diversity, there's new works, there's more to come, and I guess I suppose what we want to kind of let the community know is that there's no more Port of Lose, it's all open, ready for business.
Yes,
and
it is.
And look, there's you'll see on our Facebook page and probably on yours as well, photographs of the new amenities. And one thing I love is the new toilets, I've got to say, but I'll get off them quickly. But I mean, having worked in the preschool sector for a little bit a long time ago in a voluntary capacity, you've got a really lovely wet room area so that mums and bubs can, you know, play with outside and get cleaned up, and just little things like that make such a difference.
Yeah.
And beautiful new reception area, reception place, and the shop's looking fantastic, but needs a bit more stock, but that's on its way.
Yes, we're doing that.
Yeah.
We're restocking at the moment.
So,
it has been an incredible experience to go through. Community's overwhelmed with it.
Yeah.
Community does love what we've done down
well,
there.
Well, it's state of the art now. You've got all those, everything set up for, I noticed all the wine glasses, so your reception facilities and the kitchen and all of that, and even there'll be a photo of Adam. diving into the fridge in the kitchen.
I try to duck out of that.
Yeah, he's a bit camera shy, this bloke, but we caught it. So, you've got a very exciting visit coming up this weekend.
Yeah, is
that okay? Rose, you could tell us a bit about that. Sorry. I'm just swinging the microphone in Rose's face, everybody. So.
We do have... Her Excellency, the Margaret Beasley, Governor of New South Wales, coming in on Saturday, the 24th, to have a yarn with us and find out how we make things happen and what's our plans for the future and things like that. So it's a good opportunity for us to be in a position of being recognised as a centre that's doing something good. So... To me, it's icing on the cake.
Well, it's an amazing honour to have a viceregal visit because she represents King Charles.
Yes.
So, yeah, maybe more depending on how you feel about all that. But nevertheless, she's the top of the tree in terms of dignitaries that can come from New South Wales. Mm. And, yeah, she's a lovely lady as well. So,
oh, that's good to know.
Yeah. And so you'll be showing her around. And I think it is a mark of how significant the Keeping Place is. And I think you were telling me yesterday, Rose, you're one of four Keeping Places or galleries that have been sort of chosen for some special program?
Yeah, it's digitization of our collections, our old videos, photos, tape recordings. We're getting them all in line with moving forward, but also at the same time, story collections are coming out from the elders and...
That's an exciting... There's so much happening. I'm a little bit overwhelmed, actually.
We've had our digitisation person, Bob Blair, doing a lot of the cataloguing and everything. Mm. And so it's also adding to the diverse skill levels we really need down there. Mm. And... you can't get better tour guides than what we produce out of that centre. I have to speak very highly of them. They're mainly Adam, Tyler Stackman and Bob Blair.
Mm.
They usually take those sort of the tourist buses and that in.
Mm. Mm.
And we do that weekly, three times a week now, isn't it? Mm. And they call in and we get... such a diverse group of people. We've sold internationally as well as nationally. Our artists are of a high caliber.
Very high caliber. Yeah.
And always ready with new and exciting things for people to look at. So, you know, come on down if you're out there listening to us because... well, we'd like to introduce one of our latest exhibitions.
Let's have a look at that. There is the most beautiful exhibition. Now, this is in the new Special Exhibition Centre. I'm not going to try to pronounce that, but I could if I had to. But here we go, Adam.
I think it's the Gurren Murren Exhibition.
Right.
And it's mainly a photography exhibition with the local Tinga community.
Yeah.
It's a 3-year project that Kasani Upwood has been working on this.
Mm. Kasani's a PhD candidate, local woman.
And it's our first doing that, but we were very proud to do it because she's at the pinnacle of her educational career and what she's put out at this end for us to be able to exhibit. Mm. Is phenomenal because there are the 10 people involved in the photographic area are all local people from Tinga.
Well, it's just a very moving exhibition. I don't want to steal your thunder, but it's basically about dealing with... oh, well, I'll hand it over to you guys to explain that. But it's a very, very sensitive exhibition about landscape, isn't it?
It is. Mm. And it's about the... 2019 fires that devastated the area back then, and it's all about the regeneration and walking on land that has been desecrated in that manner, but looking at the future and getting excited about new things the fire has revealed, like ochre lines and there's the waterways, the rocks, the trees. I mean, everything is being examined and their regeneration has been very carefully managed by themselves, community out there. So it's all good all round.
Well, they're the most gorgeous photographs, sensitive photographs of regeneration happening over a sort of charred surface and many other things as well. A lot of them are already sold, but they're very affordable, but also... beautiful, but I think, and it's a self-guided exhibition, so you can pick up this brochure that I've got in my hands now. But one of the things I love this statement in that self-guided thing. I'm just going to read it out. It says, "The experience of doing this exhibition was rejuvenating, uplifting, and felt like being back home. So it's about reclaiming country after it's been shockingly burnt. Yes. And that's a terrible thing for anybody, I think, to experience. But this, I love this statement by, I think this is by Kasani, who's the PhD candidate who's sort of curated this with all these other local Tinga people involved as well. Fear of the looming risk of bushfires. I mean, I have that in my family now. It's anxiety about farmland, where is it going to be burnt and things. But fear of looming risk of bushfires, the feeling of being underprepared for the next evacuation, the stress that comes from hearing the sounds of sirens in the distance and the anger of missed opportunities for cultural burning now that summer has returned. So there's this whole kind of cluster and sense of all the things that are the good and the bad feelings. And I love where there's a word here that's, it's a new word. Where is it? It's about solastalgia, yes. Close to Fire Project, which aims to conceptualise solastalgia, the solace and the emotion that comes from kind of dealing yes. with something that you didn't want, but now you've got to deal with it and come back to a place of peace. And Rose, I know you said that some people walk out of that exhibition in tears because...
They do, and we have... It's... They walk out quietly, just with a bit of a tear in their eye, after hearing from people at the grassroots level and the devastation and fear they felt at that particular time.
Mm.
But more importantly, it's their survival, it's their renewal. It's the fact that they can walk back on land now and see the beauty and actually only add to it in their cultural manner. Which has really floored us. It's just so nice. We've had a community that can actually do that.
Well, you know, I just want to say I'm not an Aboriginal person from an Indigenous point of view, but I've got to say I've been in, I think my family's been here since the First Fleet, and there's a lot of learning that people from not First Nations cultures can have about from, as you know, that's a well-known thing, and just we all have devastation in our lives, and learning new ways to kind of face up to it.
Yes, yes, we do.
It's just a way in which we can kind of work together, which I think is, I don't know, after The Voice last year, I just think what arts are going to have to carry. That's just my feeling, that the arts have got a really big job to do to carry people together, whether it's music or whatever, but also renovations.
So we've been out of this scene for a very short while.
Yeah.
I mean, short in that it took us 6 months to kind of get that.
Well, if you could get a reno done in 6 months, you're amazing. You should win Master, whatever it is, those TV, you should go on those, the block or one of those things.
No, we worked with a really good team, JNC.
Yes, which is also an Aboriginal company as well.
It's got the Indigenous arm in it, and that's why we chose that particular one, because we knew that they'd have consideration for why we wanted particular designs, why we wanted particular colours going in there. And it's ended up with a really nice outcome.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Now, I just wanted to mention there's also a really lovely new sand centre outside, and you're also renovating, and Adam's been part of a team of artists redoing, if you like, refurbing that outside entertainment area. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that? Because people can see that from the road.
The artwork in the outdoor area.
The sand. Facility.
Yeah, well, the Yarning Circle and dance performing ground. That was a project that we started. We had the wrong sand at first. It started to compact with all the water.
Oh, really?
So we had to get that redone.
You got concrete.
We had help from a few different people with that. I think it was the... Races guys. Brothers in the Dale. Brothers in the Dale helped do some of the seating around there with some logs that we actually got from Steve Ahoy from the university.
Oh,
so
great.
We actually sourced those and we got those like given to us, basically.
Yep.
Yeah, so that's we actually broke it in with a very big dance performance by Bob. Yeah.
Right.
I think we had a few people there that day. I think it was like 120 people.
Oh, wow, because Bob is, you know, a very trained cultural dancer now.
Oh, yeah.
And you've got him on board full-time pretty much, so, yeah.
And the artwork down the bottom, that was a collaboration between... We had Brenton Lugnan come up.
Mm-hmm. So he's your carpet man.
Yeah.
But he's no much more than that. He's an artist. Yeah.
He's very much into like street art.
Yeah.
So he was showing us a spray painting workshop.
Oh,
so he does a lot of murals with spray cans, and that was the first time we tried to get some people to come in. In the end, it was myself, Bob, Tyler, and Brenton.
And Tyler's... we'll go to Tyler in a moment, yep. But, yeah, sorry. So you could, guys, and so you're now able to basically... got the techniques for large public art outside.
He's done the basics. Like it's a very technical art form. Mm. So we just done basically the basics, and what it actually represents is the circle in the middle is where we are right now.
Yeah.
And the artworks on the walls are like our surrounding tribal groups, mm-hmm. and it's just showing like a safe place where we all come together.
That's something new that's emerging, isn't it, for you? That safe, that sense of safety together in that place, and maybe a little bit of a break from sometimes politics can kind of hurt.
Yeah, there's a lot of connection between different tribal groups as well. So a lot of people walk in two different countries or three different countries.
Yeah. Mm. And more so. So that's part of the underlying agenda. Oh, I don't think agenda's the right word, but project, isn't it? Yeah. To give people that sense of togetherness and safety. Yeah. But I mean, you know, just looking from the outside, it's just really beautiful, fresh new artwork.
Yeah.
And then you just look up and there's this beautiful kind of elevated platform of sand, which I think is fairly new, isn't it? And that's between the keeping place and the
Niram.
Yeah. So it's a beautiful kind of stepped up. There's your keeping place and then there's that platform, that sand platform, which is still in development.
Yep.
And then you look up the hill a little bit and there's your mates up at Niram.
Yeah, we're also rejuvenating the bush tucker walk as well.
Mm. Yeah.
So we've got a pathway started. We're just about to start putting the plants in and get some more signage and stuff like that. That'll be another tour that we'll be doing.
Mm.
I was going to touch on it before about all the renovations.
Yep.
So we had to shut down a lot of our workshops last year. Yes.
Ah, okay. I was going to get on to the activities because we haven't even started to talk about that side of what you do. So, Adam... you had to give them a bit of a break while you've had the place in sort of deconstruction mode.
Yeah, it was a bit chaotic, so we couldn't really run them. And danger for the kids as well, you know, there's hazards there.
Yeah.
So we couldn't really do it.
Yeah.
This year we're starting to kick off again. We've actually had two schools come through already.
So great.
So PLC and Martin's Gully come through for our workshops. We're going to start the holiday program again this year as well.
Fantastic.
And yeah, we've got a couple of new exciting workshops that we're in the process of doing as well. So actually today, Tyler, our new artist in residence, he's...
Do you want to tell us a little bit about Tyler? Because he's pretty special. I had the chance to meet him for the first time yesterday, although I tried to get one of his paintings a couple of years ago and missed out because he's... anyway, but he's now come on board as part of your artist in residence.
Tyler's a Thangari artist from Walker.
Mm. Right.
I think he first exhibited when he was 16 years old.
Yeah, something like that.
And he's just grown in leaps and bounds.
Right.
I've been sort of mentoring him on the side with a few different aspects of the centre.
Yep.
He's actually the artist they chose for the saltwater, freshwater. His artwork is
phenomenal.
Promoting that,
I would agree. I was really,
and does a lot of commission works. He's actually doing one of our new workshops today possum skin burning.
Yes.
Wow.
So he uses the burner to actually burn designs into these. I think it's a few kids from O'Connor that are coming down. Yeah,
right.
And it's going to be over 5 weeks as well.
Terrific.
Yeah.
And if you've seen these beautiful possum skin clothing, which of course is another aspect that's unique to this cold climate Aboriginal homelands, I suppose, or country, there's and the beautiful work on the reverse side, on the hide side of the things, and that's what we're talking about,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, so Tyler's done a few kangaroo skins as well. He's been other workshops down on the coast as well, so people have called him back a couple of times to do that. We're starting to utilise it here at the centre.
And I've got to say,
very good.
I got very excited. There's a gorgeous sort of summer winter transseasonal cloak, kangaroo skin cloak, on display in the main exhibition with the Gowan Barron Tinga exhibition, photographic exhibition. And it's really worth going into the Keeping Place just to look at that, construction of that.
Just something else to add to the huge impact Tyler is making on the arts community.
Yeah.
We were approached a year ago by the Roeburn community from Western Australia.
Oh, I've been to Roeburn? Yeah. Broome. It's the Broome area, isn't it? Yeah, yeah.
And been approached to deliver some artwork, workshops over there for about 3 weeks.
Right.
But also in the meanwhile, it'll be getting trained up in a lot of their stuff.
Yes.
So to do it inside the country rather than go out and look at works from other countries, this will totally go to building his confidence and building his self-esteem and making sure that we can produce superb artists here.
Well, you can just, I mean, I'm staggered. I'm just, I think I'm a little bit discombobulated actually after that trip around the gallery yesterday, just to see I'm being quite sincere here, that the huge leaps that have happened in terms of the kind of art that you're doing, the creative, exhibition of the emu egg that one of your artists has done, with just a little emu, a progression of a little emu hatching.
It's
just so much gorgeousness, I suppose. Yeah. And
the interesting thing about that is,
and it's modern.
This young girl, it's contemporary art, and it looks beautiful, and it's a great teaching tool. Mm. But more importantly, this young woman, Kate
Briggs,
it's her first time exhibiting.
Yeah.
So that's the other exciting part about it. Yeah. And we will have a weaving class with her. We will bring her in and go through what we need from her and what we would like to see in some of the workshops she'll be doing there.
Oh, it's just amazing. But Adam, I think we cut you off slightly when we were talking about the programs and the renewal of the school and other community workshop programs, and we can't go on forever, but we need to finish that because
like I was saying, our regular workshops are starting to, like, they're going to be back on this year after the refurbishment. So we have our art workshops, we'll have our didgeridoo workshops as well, so there'll be programs for school children, community groups, whoever wants to come and learn and do these workshops. It's open to everybody.
So we're not just talking about everybody Aboriginal or everybody First Nations, we're talking about the whole community.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I've got to say, I got invited to a little, not at the Keeping Place, but one of your associate sites, and I just had the most lovely day with my daughter and friends, just doing a little bit of weaving, and it was just lovely. Yeah.
Yeah, like Raz touched on, we're going to get Kate to come over and do some weaving workshops as well.
Mm-hmm.
Our regular workshop, the dance workshop as well, that Bob runs, that's back on as well. And then, like I said before, we've got a couple of new ones in the works as well.
Oh, so to be announced.
Yeah, with Tyler doing the burning.
Yeah.
And we're also talking about, wooden objects, so wood carving and making tools and objects.
Right.
And also spear throwing.
Spear throwing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow. I'm just imagining spear throwing.
Oh, it'll be safety first, sure. And it will be for the latter part of school.
Yeah.
Children like year 11, 12.
Yeah.
We've got Connor coming in.
Older kids.
Yes, older kids, and there'll be a very... Because we're making our programs longer now, just to facilitate even flow through the centre.
Yes.
And the workshops for the creative side will have to be delivered in modules.
Yes.
So that people will get not only the safety training beforehand, but they will be able to get into actually producing something at the end of it. For wonderful. Them to go away with. We've also re-established the University of the Third Age. They do a 10-week program with us.
Oh, now this was something that we did talk to U3A a few weeks ago, so what can you tell us a little bit about that program?
Okay,
it's accessed through U3A, but is it down at the Keeping Place?
It's down at the Keeping Place.
Oh, right. Oh, what a wonderful collaboration.
We ran one a couple of years, would be a year ago, maybe, and it turned out really good. The response was incredible because what we use within the program is human resources in terms of people who do excellent things in our community, like singing. It goes into dance. It goes into our water, land, sky care. All of that is all built into the program. And then it's kind of looking at, in a more academic sense, the impact of the Stolen Generation, which was last week's theme for the nation.
So this is a U3A course, so you'd access it through U3A, but it's held down at the Keeping Place, but it's an introduction, I guess, to Aboriginal culture.
It's Aboriginal knowledge base, and it's bringing out our experts to be able to deliver those segments of it.
Wow.
So we're looking forward to it. It's 10 weeks, and it always ends up being a nice bunch we get in there, it's also, I think, imparting a lot of cultural knowledge while you're sitting there in the centre.
Fantastic. So when is that starting? Is that started?
First.
Or 1st of March?
Is the first day.
Oh, wow.
And so I've got a full class.
You've got a full class, Rose. Yeah. So, I don't know what to say about that. Get on the waiting list for the next one. Oh,
that turns into a yarn and circle as well.
Yeah, it does.
It's really, really good.
We incorporate
of older people.
Yeah. And it's good because the use of the yarning circle is so important.
Yeah, I was going to ask you. Well, some people that are listening may not really know. I mean, I don't know that I really know what a yarning circle is.
Okay, it is a circle.
Yeah.
Usually made up of different things from our environment to make it comfortable to sit there. Mm. But you also have what we call our cultural knowledge on how to deliver or how to discuss or how to share knowledge and be able to visibly see the faces of the people and allowing them to speak. Because often with mine, I run it through with a talking stick.
Yep.
So that gives everybody, and I often refer to the knowledge gained by the school in regards to their students, because I've had, I did have Minimbar in there one year, and it was a beautiful experience because what I did was try to wrap it into something they're learning at school, which is why it's important to be in before dark, you know, and that sort of stuff. So I picked a topic and then related it to them in community language.
Yes.
And every child put their hand up.
And got a hold of that yarning stick.
Yeah. And then they spoke about what Dad and Mum told them, you know.
Staying inside.
Yeah.
So
it can be adjusted to fit any situation.
Yeah.
It's just knowing to ask a question that you know people are eager to get involved in answering. And with that, every little child there, and some of them have never communicated, yet they spoke there because they knew the stories.
Oh, isn't it beautiful? So there's a lot more, there's actually a lot more to the Yarning Circle than I realised. But, oh, is there anything else we need to know right now? Because... No.
I think we did.
Just get down to the keeping place because there's so much to see, and the opening hours are
nine till four weekdays, and then we're open from 10 till 2 on a Saturday as well.
10 to 2, and then okay, the toilets are working, and there's refreshments available.
We do have a barista on staff.
Right.
Two.
Yeah,
so you can get a little bit of refreshment there as well. So there's absolutely no excuse not to pop down 9 to 5 Monday to Friday. Don't come at 4 o'clock because it'll be lock up time, and then 10 till 2 a slightly easier program on 10 till 2 on Saturdays. Fabulous! Bring the kids down, or you know, drop them off at the sports and pop in. Relax while the game's on. That's what I would say, but I probably shouldn't. But look, thank you so much, Adam and Rose, for coming in, and look, all the best with your viceregal activities on Saturday. I'm sure it'll be a lot of fun, and it's such an honour to have you in the studio here, and such an honour to think of you attracting Governor, Beasley to have a look around, and wow, all the things you're doing. There's no excuse for everybody not to be involved.
That's true. thank you so much.
That's a pleasure. We'll see you again soon.
We will.
Bye-bye.